Hello everybody, good morning and welcome to EVC Live. This is our service on Sunday with a special focus on open doors. My name is Richard Doherty, I'm the Youth Minister here at Emmanuel. It's really good for you to be able to join us today. Do say hello to each other in the comments and send smiley faces and all that kind of stuff, because it lets us know that what we're doing is appreciated, and that's really lovely. In terms of our service today, I'll be doing the kids talk and the worship, but we're going to be joined through the powers of the internet by a guest speaker called Peter Burns, who comes to us from Nailsea Baptist Church. And Peter Burns, as well as being on the ministry team at Nailsea Baptist Church, is also part of the Open Doors team. Open Doors are a charity who look after and help and support Christians and churches where actually being a Christian is a dangerous thing to do. So they work with the persecuted church, they work with the secret church and even the underground church. And Peter will be bringing us some lessons from lockdown, a reading and some words later on in the service. In terms of our own EBC announcements and notices, there's not an awful lot. We're obviously still doing everything live through the internet, and it's really good again to be with you. But also this week, I believe it is the turn for our prayer meeting. We alternate between a prayer meeting on Zoom and a live worship set on Facebook each week. And I'm fairly certain this week it is the turn of the prayer meeting. So that'll be at 7:30 through Zoom. And if you want to get involved in that, send us a message either to our EBC Facebook page, or see if Fee's in the comments, and hopefully she can sort you out with that. I believe we're having one of our Zoom coffee meetings after church, and that will either be Fee or John Dunster setting that up. So again, if you want to be involved in that, write something in the comments if you haven't got a link to join that, and we'll make sure that something gets to you. But before we do anything else, it would be really lovely to open up our service with a brief time of prayer and some worship. So let's pray together. If you're a little one, we'll do P, R, A and Y. Father God, thank you that we can be at church today, because church is the people, not the place. Thank you that whether we're in our bedrooms or our living rooms or even sat in the garden with an iPad, we can join with brothers and sisters and church family, both local and around the world. Thank you that through Facebook we've been able to reach out to people from all over Europe and further, and that family members, visitors, and people who don't normally come to church have been able to join our service and find out more about your Son Jesus, our Saviour. Help us today as we worship you. Help us as we look at your Bible to understand it, and help us as we listen to Peter to hear your words and your encouragements and your challenges. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing our first song, our opening song, which is all about praising Jesus and praising God. Praise him, you heavens, and all that's above. Whoa! Praise him, you heavens, and all that's above. Praise him, you angels and heavenly hosts. Let the whole earth praise him. Praise him, the sun, moon, and bright shining stars. Praise him, you heavens and waters and skies. Let the whole earth praise him. Great in power, great in glory, great in mercy, King of heaven, great in battle, great in wonder, great in Zion, King. In heavenly hosts, let the whole earth
heavens and waters and skies. Let the whole earth praise Him. Great in power, great in glory, great in mercy, King of heaven, great in battle, great
Now, as I open up our service today, I used a bit of a strange word, and I realised that some of our children and young people might not really understand one of the things I said. And it's this word which should pop above my head, just here. Whoa, backwards, here we go. It's like being on the weather. Persecution. Okay, persecution. What on earth does that big, strange word mean? Well, persecution is when we treat people badly, or angrily, or unfairly, because there's something about them that we don't like. And normally persecution is to do with a whole group of people. So in history, sometimes people have been persecuted because of the colour of their skin. And sadly, that still happens today. Some people have been persecuted because they believe something, or they follow one particular political party. But the reason we're talking about persecution today is because around the world there are lots of Christians who are treated really unfairly, who are hurt, sometimes put in prison, and sometimes even killed because they choose to follow Jesus. So persecution is something that's really important to know about, because we shouldn't do it to other people. And because the Bible says we need to pray for and support our brothers and sisters and people around the world who are treated unfairly. Now, I've brought in with me today some absolutely delicious cakes. Okay, I've got some happy little buns here. And actually, one of the ways that I could teach you about persecution would be to tell you that you're not allowed any of these cakes. Okay, because I don't like you or something like that. But you're not here, so I can't pick on you. But what I can do is hopefully explain persecution and the church in an interesting way. So what I'm going to do, I'm just going to light these candles here. And we always say to the boys and girls watching, not to play with lighters or matches. Matches, lighters never touch. They can hurt you very much. And I am going to do my best to not burn myself and light all of these candles here. Okay. Now, when you have a birthday, you light your candles, don't you? And the most fun thing about that is then being able to blow them out. So we'll do that in a minute. So I've lit my candles here, and hopefully you can see that on camera. They're all, there they are, they're all there, which is nice. And persecution is, these lovely lights are all shining very beautifully. And they're all there, and you know, they're really, really wonderful, and they're trying to share their light with the world. And persecution is a bit like this. Persecution is when in a country where they don't like the church, they might send the police to come and try and shut it down. Okay, and they blow it out. Okay, I've got a rubber glove over the smoke alarm, so hopefully it doesn't go off. Okay, or persecution is that actually sometimes people, because of the colour of their skin or because of where they come from or what language they speak, they're treated unfairly and they're not allowed the same things as everybody else. Okay, so we make it hard for them and we blow out the candle, and that's really sad. We treat people really unfairly. In the Bible, we see that Jesus was persecuted, that the early church was persecuted. We see that different people, whether it was the religious leaders or whether it was the Romans or whether it was other people, they came and they tried to extinguish the church. They tried to blow out the flame that is the church. So they killed Jesus. Oh, they tried to kill Jesus. There we go. Okay, and they tried to extinguish the church. Oh, up there. They killed Jesus, but he came back. And they arrested church leaders. They arrested church leaders. And they thought that would stop the church. And they put Peter in prison. But God released him. And they clamped down on the church. And it seems that as hard as you try to extinguish the church, it comes back. And that's what happens today. There are certain countries where it's illegal to follow Jesus. And actually, if you're a Christian, just like us today, you'd be not going to church to meet with other people, but you'd be worshipping at home. Instead of singing loudly, maybe you just read your Bible quietly. You might whisper the worship. There are places where if you own a Bible, you have to hide it to keep it secret, because the police might come and shut your church down. Or people might come and they might attack the minister. Okay, and you might not be allowed to follow Jesus publicly. But we find that in these countries where the church isn't allowed to exist, it keeps coming back. We're going to hear later from somebody called Peter who works with churches and Christians around the world where they're not allowed to do what we do. They can't come to a lovely building and sing loud songs. They're not allowed to own a Bible. They have bits of Bibles and they have to memorize them. And they're treated very unfairly. There are places where Christians aren't allowed to vote. Places where Christians don't get the same treatment as other places. Places where actually if you're a Christian you can be put in prison. And Open Doors, and this is their website, let me just get this up. Open Doors here. They have a world watch list. They have a list of countries. There's 50 countries where they put the ones where it's hardest to be a Christian, and North Korea is at the top. If you're a Christian in North Korea, you can be killed or put in prison. Some of these other countries as well, Iran, Afghanistan. The Maldives, that always surprises me, a beautiful holiday destination, but it's hard to be a Christian. China, down here, where recently there's been more oppression on underground churches and Christians being told if they want help and they want to be able to be part of society, they have to give up following Jesus. If you want to go to opendoors.org.uk, you can look at these countries and we can pray for them and for their leaders. But it's really important that we understand that in our country we're allowed to follow Jesus. And sometimes people might make fun of us, they might not understand, they might not like it, but we're allowed to worship. But we can understand how the persecuted church feel at the moment, because we can't gather and do the things we want to do. We had to stop meeting in our church buildings. We weren't allowed to come together and worship God together. But through the internet and things like this, we're able to still meet. And there are lots of Christians who can only worship through the radio. We're going to hear from one member of our church now, Margaret, who lockdown has affected in different ways. We've been looking at different people in our church and how, well, not lockdown anymore, but how coronavirus has stopped them being able to do the things that they normally do or affected them. And one way that Margaret was affected by lockdown was not being able to go and see her husband David, who's in a care home, and he was quite poorly at one point, but things are getting a bit better. So while I deal with these exploding candles, I'm going to let you hear from Margaret. So here we are.
Well, it was very hard to start with because I didn't know what to do because everything stopped that I was doing and I was just left with nothing, including not spending time with David. But I picked up things to do like jigsaw puzzles and my faithful tablet and my word games and things, and I read George Eliot in particular, which I've never read before. But of course, as far as exercise is concerned, I was walking more and more because we live in this beautiful place and it really made a difference. Yeah. It was a lifesaver and I'm blessed with health and strength to be able to do it. So, but those were the things. Cleared out cupboards, of course, and vacuumed more than I normally do. But yes, that's what I spent my time doing most of the time. I enjoy the church services online, and I enjoy the worship online. And I was surprised, actually, that I was able to enter into the prayer meeting that have started online. So they've been quite good, actually. I've enjoyed that, and it's quite nice to think, oh, can I just pop out for a coffee? And I can take my tablet with me, so I can take the service with me when I go out and have a cup of coffee. So from that point of view, that's been quite positive. And I have to say that I'm not a very sociable person. So not meeting people all the time hasn't affected me that much. But it's the activity that I've missed. You know, going up the church to help with the cafe and the cameo and things like that, and going to the office. It takes a big lump out of your day, and if you're on your own, that makes a huge difference. So those are the things that have been, you know, different and hard sometimes. Yeah. I slowed down a bit. I found that I don't have to do things when and where and exactly the way that you're supposed to. I can choose to do things at a different time of the day if I so wish and things, and so I've slowed down a bit. And the other positive really is just being out in this beautiful countryside that we have. Something that, particularly up at Geilston, to be able to listen to the skylarks, it's just, it makes me want to burst out and join in song with the skylarks, because it's just so beautiful, and the carpets of cowslips and things like that. Yeah. So those are the real positives that have happened, which I hope to be able to carry along with me afterwards. Seeing David. I think I don't need to say any more, really.
Yeah.
That's the big thing, seeing David. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's had a rough couple of weeks, we all have. But hopefully he will now be able to rest and recover, and he's now in his own bed with people around him that he knows. So I'm just hoping and praying that it'll be a quiet and peaceful time for him. What the future holds, I don't know. Only God knows that, but, yeah.
Okay. Thank you for sharing that with us, Margaret. And as a church, we've been praying for David and glad that things seem a bit better at the moment. Doug sent me a message saying that when he filmed that, it seemed that his camera decided the thing it wanted to focus on more than anything was the flowers. And it's so lovely seeing nature and all the things that we love and appreciate at the moment, but it's so wonderful to see different people from church. We've been trying to go around asking different folks to share the grace at the end of the service, and Doug's been going around with the camera interviewing people. We're trying to get through everybody, so if you're wondering where your invitation is, I'm sure it will be on the way, and it's lovely to be able to catch up with people after not being able to gather as church for some time. We're going to sing some songs now, and they've all got a theme of light to them. Those candles and the light that was there and the light that churches bring, they speak about Jesus. Jesus said this, "I am the light of the world. Whoever walks in me will not walk in darkness." In fact, let me read that properly just so I get it right. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The persecuted church is a light which shines in the darkness. In some countries where there aren't many Christians, the churches there are the only ones who have the good news about Jesus to share with people. That God loves them, he wants to forgive them, and that Jesus died so that we could be saved. So we're going to sing songs about light to remind us of who Jesus is. But also we're going to sing songs about light to remind us that the church should be a lighthouse too. So we're going to sing a few songs now.
In my wrestling and in my doubts, in my failures, you won't walk out. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Oh, oh, you are the peace in my troubled sea. In the silence you won't let go. In my questions your truth will hold. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Oh, oh, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, my lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. My lighthouse, my lighthouse, I will trust the promise, you will carry me safe to shore. Troubled sea, oh, oh, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, my lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. My lighthouse, my lighthouse, I will trust the promise, you will carry me safe to shore. Oh, 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 oh. Safe to shore. Oh,
my words will ever say, you are Lord, you are Lord, oh.
My heart will sing, no other name. Jesus, Jesus. My heart will sing, no other name. Jesus, Jesus. My heart will sing, no other name. Jesus.
Peter Burns now, who's going to bring our reading. The reading is going to come up briefly on the screen, so if you want to grab a Bible or get it up on your phone or on your computer, then please do and follow along with Peter.
There are two readings which I'd like us to consider today. The first is from John's Gospel, chapter 20, and I'm going to start reading from verse 19, and then some verses from Acts chapter 12. So first, John 20 and verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw that it was the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Now, on to Acts chapter 12 and reading from verse 1. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that this met with approval among the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the festival of unleavened bread. After arresting Peter, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals." And Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and the second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen." It all caused me to think quite a lot recently about my personality and my character. Initially, I confess to quite enjoying it. A whole plethora of meetings were quickly cancelled. I could spend more time pottering around my garden in the early evening and catch up with some of the interminable list of jobs that Mrs. Burns is compiling for me. I could even watch TV without feeling guilty about what I was missing. But then as time went on, as the novelty wore off, as the days turned into weeks and now months, and I realized that there was no quick fix to it all, I started to struggle. I miss being with people. And lockdown, for that's what I'm talking about, is something that I'm now heartily sick of. I wonder how you're doing. One perhaps positive aspect of lockdown, though, is the way that our experience has enabled me, at least, to consider a couple of Bible stories in a new way, perhaps even to understand better something of what was going on. If you've got your Bibles with you, turn back to that reading from John 20, verse 19. We probably know the scene. Some of us have read of this strange gathering a number of times, but it's always worth looking again and again at familiar scriptures. It's always good to imagine ourselves in the midst of that room. Here they all were, the closest friends and disciples of Jesus. They'd just witnessed the most horrifying and abrupt dashing of hopes. They'd just seen the one they loved and admired most in the world cruelly tortured and shamefully killed as no more than a criminal. As they had fled the scene, they now have retreated to a quiet private room And as we pick up John's narrative, they are in lockdown. Did you notice the detail of verse 19? The doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders. This disparate and desperate group of Jesus' closest friends grappling with grief alongside fear of attack. And presumably, as they assessed the situation that they were now in, anxiety levels growing towards panic mode. Surely, after Jesus, surely the Jewish leaders next come for his followers. They must lock the doors. They must bar the windows. They must do everything possible to repel the growing likelihood of attack and persecution. And yet, despite all of this security, and in a move which breaks through, bursts through every physical and emotional barrier, in a move that sets aside all the expectations that they could erect, we then read the most incredible thing. Jesus came and stood among them. Just a second. Did we read that right? Have we properly understood? Jesus has been killed, yes? Yes. The doors are locked, yes. And yet somehow this Jesus was now alive and there, right in front of them. Somehow their Lord and Master was able to be very present right in the middle of the room. And as he stood there with them, sharing the fullness of his presence with them, and as he gently spoke and carefully showed his wounds, Jesus lovingly comforted his friends. The Holy Spirit was at work and softly warming their hearts, equipping them for the ministry and mission that lay ahead. What is it that Jesus said? Peace be with you. I am sending you. I wonder if there's a message for us as we grapple with lockdown today. Our second reading takes place a few years later. Here, Jesus has ascended to heaven and we catch up with Peter. He's clearly been up to no good again, shouting his mouth off with some crazy story about Jesus coming back from the dead, and Peter's generally making a bit of a nuisance of himself, even despite the presence of Herod and the effect of persecution that Herod is exerting upon the friends of Christ. As we read, James has been killed, and now Peter is being kept in prison. Now, for the avoidance of any doubt, let me be absolutely clear with you that I've never yet spent time at Her Majesty's pleasure. But I imagine that Peter's cell was very different from the prisons we might have heard about in modern day UK. I guess the situation that Peter was in was rather less comfortable than B wing of Dartmoor Jail. There is no cozy bed. There is little in the way of entertainment or exercise yard. Certainly no colour TV. This was a filthy pit. No toilet and just a few scraps of crust thrown reluctantly to him. Peter was guarded by 16 of the finest, meanest, of soldiers. So he would very quickly discover, if he didn't realise already, that friends passing by for idle chit-chat, well, there was no chance. In a different way from us, but no less challenging, Peter was in lockdown. He was held securely in a cell. And probably like the larger group that we read about in John, he was fearful. He was filled with fear at the potential punishment that awaited the full extent of Herod's persecution. But as he reflected on his experiences, and no doubt as he prayed and pondered his future, even as he tried perhaps to share the love of Christ with his captors, suddenly in verse 7 we read, a messenger from God appeared in the cell. The cell was filled with light. God was in their midst. And the angel led Peter out of the cell through pre-locked doors and into a place where he could continue his ministry, persist with his mission. Is there a message for us as we grapple with lockdown? Now, these two accounts from Scripture, and there are similar other stories in our Bibles, these accounts emphasize for us the power of God. And they underline that the power of God is greater than any locked doors, than any closed hearts might try and claim. The influence of our God as his Holy Spirit breaks through barriers, enables his ministry, his mission to continue, and his good news to continue to bear fruit. And friends, the same is true today. For many Christians today, across too many countries in our 21st century world, the gospel is supposedly locked down. Closed and locked in the annals of dusty libraries and forgotten about. And any who have the slightest inkling of Christ's truth, any who have some measure of faith in his love for us, are also locked down. Many are confined physically, or at least emotionally, into silence, filled with fear. The fear of attack if the authorities discover their secret faith and then begin to persecute them. And as their lockdown continues, a similar pattern is increasingly being seen. God is breaking into their midst. His Holy Spirit is wonderfully at work. In one country in North Africa, it is believed that because of persecution, there remain only about 30 churches. The rest are being closed down very quickly all the time. However, the pastor of one of those churches told one of our Open Doors team recently of a visitor. One day, a lady knocked on his door and said, I must speak to you. I had a dream last night and Jesus showed himself to me. He told me he wanted me to be his friend. Can you explain that to me? Carefully, the pastor invited her in and they shared a coffee together. And he told her all about Jesus, the good news of the gospel. There and then, she decided to give her life to Jesus and to follow him. But then she said, "This is so good. I have to go back and tell my friends, to tell my family." But the pastor warned her and told her that she must be very, very careful about doing that. It's illegal to convert from Islam, and it would be very dangerous for her to let others know about her conversion experience. She insisted, though, "This is too good. I can't keep it to myself." So the lady left, and all went very quiet. The pastor assumed that the worst had happened, until 2 weeks later there was another knock at the door. The pastor was delighted to see it was the same lady, and she was well. She said again, I need to talk to you, Pastor." So they sat and drank coffee together. And as they did so, she said this, "I have spoken to every woman in my mosque, and every one of them has had exactly the same dream." Friends, Jesus is appearing in the midst of the harshest of lockdowns, revealing his love and calling out to those who have most to lose, calling out to them to come and follow him. And inspired by the Holy Spirit, more and more people, facing greater and greater risk, are responding more and more warmly. In the midst of our own experiences of lockdown, how have you been using this time? What has God been teaching you, teaching us? Most of us have had more time to pause, to reflect, hopefully to pray. I don't know whether you picked up a few weeks ago, the Daily Telegraph reported that during the coronavirus pandemic, there has been a 50% surge in Google searches for prayer. People are turning to God, turning to religion to cope with feelings of anxiety and hopelessness. Now that, of course, is in addition to those of us who are already in the know about the power of prayer. A similar boost in the sale of Bibles has happened. More and more people are purchasing a Bible and hopefully reading it, looking at the stories of Jesus and the power of his gospel. But as we read and as we pray, what do we pray? And who do we lift before our great God? A handful of years ago, my wife and I had a visitor for a few days. We'll call her Michelle. Michelle and her husband are senior Christian leaders in Pakistan. And we delighted and despaired in equal measure as she told us of the realities that the church struggle with in that country. And quietly, Michelle one evening related a visit that she had been able to make a few weeks before to another city. Her visit was to catch up with the spiritual health of a small, struggling, underground gathering of Christian believers. They lived in lockdown permanently, and they found it so hard to not be allowed to gather together, to worship together openly. During her visit, Michelle tried to encourage them with a description of every secret believer being a precious work of art in the eyes of Father God. After the meeting, she described how a small boy sidled up to her. He was 8 or 9 years old, and he spoke gently to her. "You are my easel," he quietly said. Not sure she'd heard correctly, Michelle asked him to repeat and then to explain. "You are my easel," he repeated. "You are the support for my work of art. I can only be the person that Jesus wants me to be because you are my easel, my support. You hold me up, and I need you to hold me up." As she explained all of this to us, Michelle then transferred the impact of that story to the UK church of today. You see, our families, our sisters and our brothers across the world need to know, need to be encouraged by the understanding that across the UK, boys and girls and men and women are standing alongside them, supporting them, upholding them in prayer, that we're fighting their corner. During our own lockdown and the restrictions that we struggle with of not being able to gather in our churches, we have, I think, gained a brief glimpse into everyday life for many in our family. Yet we still enjoy freedom to worship. and we're called to be the easel that holds up those who don't enjoy that freedom. Lockdown and coronavirus has caused a great deal of difficulty. But perhaps it's taught us a few things too. One of the key lessons I want to keep hold of is the greater understanding of how tough it is to be separated from your church family. But God is still at work. He breaks through the barriers. He destroys every obstruction. And he is building his church. Let's not despair. But let us go on supporting and holding up his family, our brothers and sisters across the world. Please go on giving if you can. Thank you so much for your partnership with Open Doors in this work, for all that you have contributed in the past. Thank you. But please go on praying. Go on praying more. It was Spurgeon who once said, "Pray until you can pray. Pray to be helped to pray, and do not give up praying because you cannot pray. For it is when you think you cannot pray, this is when you are praying." As we gradually come out of lockdown, please go on praying. Go on praying. And go on holding up our persecuted family in your prayers. And may God bless you as you do that. Let's pray now. Father God, thank you for the freedom that we enjoy even in the midst of lockdown. There are so many things that we're missing, but there is so much that we have. Things that many of our brothers and sisters across the world just cannot enjoy. Father, we lift them to you now. And perhaps in our mind's eye, we can picture a country or a people group or an individual who we've heard of, and we hold them up to you now. Be close to them, Lord. Equip them, Father. Enable them to continue in their ministry and mission, whatever that is, and keep them safe, we ask, as they stay close to you through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Thank you so much for allowing me this opportunity, and may God bless you richly. Goodbye.
Well, a big thank you to Peter Burns from Open Doors and the LC Baptist Church for speaking to us today. I found that really challenging, but also really encouraging that we have so much freedom and so much ability to meet and to enjoy knowing Jesus, so we really shouldn't waste it. As a church leadership team, we asked Mike Coles if he'd be happy to lead the church in a time of prayer, focusing on the work of Open Doors, and he was able to do that for us. So I'm just going to hand over now to Mike Coles, who's going to lead us in some specific prayers for specific countries and people.
Hi. We're going to pray for Christians who are persecuted because of our faith. And also, as we are told, pray for those who persecute us. So let's pray. Holy Father, we thank you that you always hear us. We thank you for the incredible privilege that we have of being able to intercede for those that are your people and are in trouble for our faith, and that we do now. We bring to you, Lord, Kim Jong-un, and his treatment of the North Korean people. We pray to you concerning his militarization of the country, his deification of himself. And what we would ask you, Lord, that you would just deal with him and speak into his heart, his mind and his spirit, and show him that there is really only one sovereign Lord God and provider, and that he might have the humbleness. We ask you that he might have the sheer courage to change his policy. And meanwhile, Lord, for your people in that country, we pray that you would sustain us, that you would support us, that you would be a substitute for those who are suffering and are tortured in those death camps in that country, Lord. And then we bring to you Isaias Sefiuoki, the president of Eritrea. We are concerned, Lord, of his Marxist policies and his anti-West and anti-Christian stance, and ask you, Lord, to work in his heart too, and to bring back to him all that he once knew about yourself and maybe still does know about you and about your forgiveness, Lord, about your salvation, and that he might just relent in his way, in the way that he runs that country. And meanwhile, for the people of that country, your people who are so ill-treated, who are kept and imprisoned in those shipping containers, imprisoned in holes in the ground, Lord, will you be with them, with each one, in a way that they can even sense your presence in a tangible way, that you would bring to them a coolness in the heat of the day in those containers, and also a warmth in the cold of the night, Lord, for your people there. We bring to you also Lord President Modi of India, and the way that he's permitting Hindus to use the withholding of food aid from Christians as a tool of persecution. Lord, will you help that man in his running of that country simply to deal with discrimination and to effect justice? And meanwhile, we pray for all that Open Doors is doing in that country and in so many other countries, in the providing of all the needs of all of your people. We thank you for the work of Open Doors. We thank you so much for the legacy that Brother Andrew left. We thank you for all those who support Open Doors, all those who work for the organisation, the partners in every country. Lord, will you support and sustain and provide for each one? May there always be resources available for the upkeep and strengthening of the faith of your people. We thank you for everyone. And then, Lord, as at the time of Moses, when your people, the Hebrews who were in Egypt and being treated so harshly, we remember that they cried out to you, and you heard their cries, and you responded to their appeal to you. And so may our cries come to you, to your ears, Father, to your heart, and we pray that from the cries from those concentration camps in North Korea, the cries from those containers in Eritrea, the cries from those from whom food aid is kept back in India and other countries too, may you hear them. Father, and will you respond to those cries to you? We pray this, Father, for Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Mike, and for everyone who's been involved in today's service. I think what we're going to do now is we're going to say goodbye to each other as a church, but do remember that there is a time of coffee following this service. You have to bring your own and you have to stay in your own home. There's an opportunity to meet with people, which is something that we're able to do that so many other Christians are not. So I'd encourage you to take part in that. I've asked David and Therese, I've asked James and Therese Davies if they would close the service today with the words of the grace, particularly because of James's work in the past with refugees and asylum seekers. So we're going to share in the words of the grace now. And I just pray that you do enjoy the freedom you have to know Jesus, to share him with other people, and to worship boldly and freely. Goodbye.
Let's finish the service by praying for each other in the words of the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.